Hey, good morning. For those of y'all who may be visiting, we had our FaithWorks, which is our annual youth retreat. So things look a little bit different up here. Before we get started, I do want to say, if you are a dad, granddad, father figure to somebody, I want you to stand up so that we can recognize you guys. Yeah, all of you guys, stand up. Of the many, many places you could have been, you chose to bring your family here. So thank you. Thank you, guys. So every summer, the elders, we take turns preaching so that we can give Dan a break. And it took the elders a few years to realize that I cheated. And I would have like 6 to 8 kids come up and talk, and then I would just preach for like 5 minutes. So this year, I'm only going to bring 2 kids up. All right. We're going to have Joshua Kelbley and Izzy Martin. And Joshua, you can come up first, and then Izzy, you can come tell folks about FaithWorks.
So if everybody would flip to Philippians 2, I'm kidding, I'm not preaching. So FaithWorks to me has always been just an amazing way to just get out of the real world and just worship Jesus and just live in Jesus for a week and just be with amazing Jesus examples all week. And this week was especially just a really big week for Jesus, for me, and I'm sure for a lot of other people. And Jesus just truly showed me that he is sufficient, and I can't rely on human feelings anymore to judge my relationship with God. And Saturday, me and Mike Lindeke went to the farmer's market, and I shared my 30-second testimony with 2 people, and we prayed over them. And one lady shared her 30-second testimony with me.
He will be preaching soon enough. Where's my friend Izzy?
Okay, so my name is Izzy Martin. I do not go to Faith Bible consistently, so a lot of you might not know me by name. But I do know a lot of people. I've known the Mervishes for pretty much my entire life. So this week at FaithWorks has been so much more than just a summer retreat. It was a chance to slow down, disconnect from the world, and learn from other believers. I walked in on Sunday with expectations of how I thought it would go, but God kind of surprised me in unexpected ways. The people, the worship, the conversations, and the quiet moments were all reminders that I'm not alone and that he's always working in me, even whenever I don't realize it. It was one of the safest, most comfortable spaces I've been in, and because of that, I was finally able to let go of some things that I've been carrying for far too long. During FaithWorks, Jesus revealed to me that I've been staying in my comfort zone when it comes to sharing the gospel, and that I've been carrying other people's burdens like they've been mine to fix. But God reminded me that he's the one in control, not me. I'm learning to lay those burdens down at his feet and trust him with things I was never meant to carry. And now I feel so encouraged to step out of that comfort zone, to go into the world and boldly share the gospel, knowing that he'll give me the strength and the peace that I need. Moving forward, I know that action matters. It's not enough to just feel encouraged. I have to act on it. I'm going to step out in faith, speak up when God gives me the chance, and intentionally trust him with the things I used to hold on to so tightly. Because real faith isn't passive, it's lived out every day. Thank you.
Is Carson Ramsey here? Carson, come here. I need... Andy prayed for us, but I need you to pray for us and for me.
All right, I'm going to pray. God, I'm so grateful for this day, God, and just for who you are. I just am so grateful for this past week, God, to just get to grow in relationships and just grow in our faith, God. I specifically pray for Merv, God, and that he can just lead a good sermon, God, but it's not his words, God, it's yours through him. God, I just pray you can be with him and you can give him peace, God, to just share what he needs to share from you, God. And I just pray for us that we can have ears to listen, God, and hearts to receive. And I just pray that we can do that, God, and not out of pride, God, but just knowing that you are Lord and all of the glory goes to you, God. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, buddy.
Hello, hello. Okay, we're on. All right, can you put up that one slide that I have? And you can just leave it up. So there's tons and tons of stuff here on the Faith Bible Facebook page. We were posting pictures. But what I want you to know is that your kids love really, really, really well. They would still go. We've been saying this for years, and it still happens. We tell people we're going to come out to their site and do some work, and they think they have 2 hours worth of work, and the kids get it done in 15 minutes. But that's awesome, because then that leaves us an hour and 45 minutes to get to talk to you, and you get to learn from them. Yeah. We went to the Vitulis like we do every year, and it's always a special time, and it's always a special time for Ronnie and his family. But this year, we had to ask him, you're okay with me sharing this? Yeah. This year, we had to ask Ronnie if we needed to make a change, because Connie just got the news last week that there's nothing more they can do for her cancer, and she's going to go be with Jesus pretty soon. And we said, hey, Ronnie, I know this is going to be a lot, so if we need to make other plans, man, we will. And he said, no, we want you there. We need you there. And it was the most amazing thing, because Ronnie had a lot of his family was there, who some of them are close to Jesus and some of them aren't. And we're out on the pier and the kids are just crying out to the Lord in worship. And I was seeing members of Ronnie's family were just taking video and were just inspired by what they were seeing these kids do. And Connie came out and she sat on the porch and she got to see. And I pulled Ronnie and his grandson Landon was at Faith Works, and we pulled them into the middle of this pile of 50 kids. And I said, hey, we just need to pray for Connie and for Ronnie and for their family. And I thought it might last for 5 minutes of different kids praying. And if it wasn't 40 minutes, it wasn't a minute of different kids praying for your family. Your kids love really, really well. We're going to be talking today about being disciple makers. So one of the things that you need to know, that those of us who do Faith Works, what they're learning to be as disciple makers is, one, how to love Jesus, how to share their faith, and how to play 42. So that's going to be so there's a new culture of people in Brazos County that are going to know how to play 42. It's not dying. Yeah. Hey, so we're gonna be in a few places. The one place I'll have you start, if you can go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I was telling Mr. Lair, I am physically and emotionally drained, but spiritually filled. So I'm gonna be checking my notes a lot more than I usually do when I'm preaching up here. Izzy talked about being in her safe place and talked about getting away from the real world. But what we spent all week talking about is that you're not a citizen of this world, but we're supposed to be here to do something, and that's to be Christ's ambassadors. And that's the message, not just for them, but for all of us. So today we're going to be talking about, as the Blues Brothers said, we're on a mission from Gad. And that's to be disciple makers. So our not of this world was in Philippians 3:20. You don't have to turn there. It's, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question then is, if we're not of this world, why are we here? And that's where we look to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, men between the ages of 18 to 50. Is that what y'all's translation says? No, yeah, that's not what it is. It's men and women. There is no age limit. There is no starting age. There is no ending age. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So this is Jesus speaking after his resurrection. And I was listening to a gentleman on a podcast, and he is this amazing mathematician. He's from Britain. And he had this awesome statement that just really struck with me here. It said, if the cross was the end of it, we would never know who Jesus was. It's why the disciples were so afraid after Jesus' death. But there was a resurrection, and that's why it's central to everything. Jesus died for my sins and for your sins on a cross, and then he rose from the dead. And he told me, and he told you, go and make disciples. Our mission is to be disciple makers. It's where the mission statement for Faith Bible Church comes from, to make disciples of every generation. Andy and I went to this conference, gosh, it's probably 15 years ago. It's where I first heard that song, Forever Rain. And Josh likes to say to pastors, I don't tell pastors what to preach. And I've been telling Andy for months, I don't tell worship pastors what songs to sing. But hey, if you could possibly on Father's Day happen to put Forever Rain into the playlist, that would be awesome. So thank you for doing that. It is my favorite song, singing out to the Lord. I first heard it at this Verge conference, and then there was also this pastor from India who came up, and he said, what is fruit of mango seed? And of course, all of us said, well, it's a mango. And he said, no, the fruit of the mango seed is the mango tree. If the mango tree only produces fruit to sit under its own shade, it's not fulfilling its purpose. Its fruit is meant to spread and to plant new trees, to make more disciples. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not just supposed to sit here, and it's great to sit here, and it's great to be with each other, and we have to have relationship with each other because the world hates us, and we need to be restored. But if all we do is come and sit in here and talk with each other, all we're doing is being the mango sitting under the tree. We've got to go out and make more disciples. So our mission is to be disciple makers. So where do we do this? This is where Josh was talking to us last Sunday. And if you want to turn to John chapter 17. Sorry, I should have told you all that a couple seconds ago, so you actually had time to turn. When you're in Matthew 28, go to the right. So John chapter 17, we're going to go verse 13 through 19. John chapter 17. While I still hear pages turning, I'll tell you what's going on with one of the things we told the kids, and we've talked to people for years, we've talked about it here at Faith Bible Church for years. Like, the desire of Faith Bible Church is to be intergenerational. It's because a 75-year-old has something to teach a 15-year-old. And a 15-year-old has something to teach a 75-year-old. But we get really comfortable every Sunday and we come and sit in our certain sections and we sit with our certain friends. So I asked our youth, I said, hey, let's start making it where this isn't the youth section anymore. And let's get out and I want you to start sitting. And let's start by going out and sitting with the folks who you went out and did work sites with. And my hope and my desire is it doesn't just end with this Sunday, that every Sunday, you guys, our youth are going to start coming out. I want you guys as well, who are our more seasoned members of the church. I said the word old Friday, and I got in trouble, but my filters, I'm drained. But I would love it for you guys to do the reverse. Go find a younger kid. They want to learn from you. They need to learn from you. When our 100 college kids get back in the summer, grab them. Let's not make this the college section. Let's make it where all ages are sitting everywhere so that we can actually have relationships. And that's what they're starting today. So John chapter 17, verse 13 through 19. This is what Josh was talking to us about last Sunday. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. This is Jesus. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Don't miss this. As you have sent me into the world, so Jesus has sent us into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So Jesus calls us to be disciple makers in the world. And I know a lot of you, just like I do, say, well, I'm not worthy of that. So I need you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So keep going to the right. You get to 1 Corinthians, keep going a little bit. If you get to 3 Corinthians, you have the wrong Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a lot of us that constantly say, I'm not worthy. Some of us who've been believers for 1 week, some of us who've been believers for 50 years, we still believe that lie that says, I'm not worthy. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to do verse 17 through 21. Chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the Dan Marshall all the time to every one of us whenever we mess up. Hey, that's not who you are. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We get to be ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what have we learned through those scriptures? As believers in Jesus Christ, our mission is to make disciples of all nations, acting as ambassadors in the world. So where in the world are we supposed to be Christ's ambassadors? Well, guess what? Jesus tells us that too. So turn to Acts chapter 1. So go back to the left. As believers in Jesus Christ, our mission is to make disciples of all nations, acting as ambassadors of Christ in the world. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So what does that look like in Bryan, Texas? That means with your family, in your neighborhood, in your county. Samaria was the lot of friction between the Israelites. So in this town, it would be you even have to go to Austin and be Christ's witnesses. And you have to go to the ends of the earth. So what's stopping us from doing that? So I've got, I think three things, maybe four. I'm really tired. We don't think we have a place. This has happened for multiple years now, and it happened again this year. So this, not only am I talking to the youth, but I'm talking to our more seasoned folks, because many of you said it again. You don't think you have a place, and I want to tell you right now, you do have a place. We visited many members. They said they don't think they have anything to offer, or they aren't sure where they can contribute now. Hey, I've raised a family. I've even raised grandkids. Where am I supposed to contribute? I'm old. Nobody wants to hear from me. Our younger folks need you all to be honest. When we talk about being vulnerable, it's about being honest and being open about the things that have happened in your past so that you can share with them how you took victory in Jesus to get over those things. Because all of our youth, as I'm sure all of you that are in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 70s and your 90s, if Hugo was here, still feel like you're alone in whatever it is that you're going through. And we need people to be honest and open and don't just say, oh, well, I had struggles. Oh, well, the Lord put me through some valleys. What was it? Be specific so that people know exactly what was going on. Hey, I had trouble in my marriage. Hey, I had a porn addiction. Hey, I stole stuff from my company. Like, be specific so people can know, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in this. How did you get victory in that through Jesus? Hey, great, let me tell you about it. Let's go out and have lunch. Let's go have a Coke. Let's go get ice cream. That's what we need you guys for. Your mission is not over just because you're more seasoned. They need to know also that the words that hurt them today, when for the youth that are 13 to 18 years old, Josh talked about how 30, 40 years later, you'll be looking in the mirror, and I'm sure that some of you today are doing that, that you're looking in the mirror and you're thinking about something that somebody said to you, those words of death that were told to you, and you look in the mirror and say, is that who I really am? Am I that person? They need you to breathe the words of life and to remind them that Jesus is better and that those words that they heard, those words of death, those are just lies. In preparation for Kelly's lesson, Thursday, right? Yeah, so Thursday, Kelly did a lesson for the youth. And a couple weeks before that, she asked a bunch of the youth, a bunch of these kids that are in these blue shirts, she said, hey, what is the worst thing in the world that somebody has told to you? Could be somebody at school, could be a friend, could be a family member, could be a mom or dad. What were some of the worst things in the world that somebody said to you? And I want to read some of those because I know for some of us, it's the same words too, that we're looking in the mirror and thinking, is that who I really am? And this is what they told Kelly. You're weak. You're lazy. You're too loud. You're not worth love. You're a mess. You're stupid. You're gay. You're toxic. You should kill yourself. You're annoying. Just one of those things can take away the 99 words of encouragement that somebody's been giving you. It's why we're constantly telling not just the youth, but all of you that you're loved and you're holy right now. Moms and dads, it's not because we don't believe that you're telling your kids that. It's because we need 50, 100 people reinforcing that message every single day. And it's why we're telling you guys as adults, whether you're 30 years old or 80 years old, the same thing. Because you still get one ugly, hurtful word and it ruins the 99 positive things, the things that the Lord's been telling you in the scriptures for your whole life. So at the end of the week, we had separated out the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders from the 10th, 11th, and 12th on the last night. And we said, hey, what are the words of life that you need to hear so that you will believe what the Lord tells you, that you're holy and that you're loved? And I want to read some of those to you because I know some of y'all need to hear that too. And this is what your youth said. You're renewed. You're clean. You're more than your mistakes. You're valued. Christ is enough. You are not a disappointment. You are good company. You are loved and accepted. You're adopted by God. You are known, seen, and loved. You are bought with a price. Jesus is truer than your feelings. You are called out by name. You are made new. And the biggest one that we constantly heard over and over and over again is they need to know that they are forgiven. So Lori and Kylie took all of those and they put it in a bookmark. And I don't know if we have any left, but I think we're going to make a ton more because I know I'm going to need to remember that. And I bet a lot of you are going to need to remember that when the world's heaping its hatred and those words of death on you. So we're going to make some more of those and put them in the foyer so that you can have those to constantly refer back to when you're reading your Bible every day, right, Dan? Yeah. You also, so that's inside the church. For those of you who think, oh, I'm done. I don't have anything to offer. But you also have a mission outside the church. We're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors and spread the gospel. And it's why I added those words into the Great Commission, because the Great Commission doesn't have a retirement date on it. You get to do that till the day you get to go be with Jesus. Connie's doing it right now with her family. On her last days, she's telling people about Jesus. What else is stopping us from being an ambassador for Christ is we don't think we're worthy. That reason we talk about being vulnerable and being honest is so people know that they're not alone, so that they can claim victory. We also believe the lie that we'll never be more than our sin. One of the things that we did at the Vitulis is Josh taught the lesson about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And one of the lessons in that, and it's one that I want to share with you all, because it's where we feel like, well, hey, I got saved, or I got baptized, and I felt clean, but you know, I've done some stuff, Merv. Part of the reason Jesus was washing those feet, he's like, I know you're going to be out in the world. I know stuff's going to happen, but guess what? I died for that too. Yeah, that thing, I died for that. Let me wash that off of you. You are constantly being cleansed. Constantly being cleansed. You are worthy because Jesus, everything, yesterday, today, that thing you're going to do 2 years from now, is all up there. You just have to believe it. One of the other big ones that we have, and this is not just a youth thing, and it came out a lot for them, and I know it comes out a lot for us because we hear it all the time, is I feel like I need to atone for something. Man, Merv, you don't understand. This thing that I did, it was really bad, and there's some work that I have to go do. And what you're really saying is, hey, God, your plan, it wasn't perfect. And I don't think your son dying on the cross was good enough to clean up this sin of mine. So you need to stop believing that lie that Jesus wasn't enough to take care of what you did. Izzy talked about it a little bit in her testimony. We say that we're leaving things at the foot of the cross, but then we constantly go back to the cross and pick it back up. And we also decide that we need to carry other people's burdens. And that makes us feel like we're not worthy. When in reality, we need to leave that person's burdens at the cross as well. That's the only way that stuff's going to get fixed. That's the only way that you're going to get victory. The last one I'll talk about, why don't we think we can be Christ's ambassadors, is because we don't think we know what to do. Like, how do I do that? How do I be Christ's ambassadors? So in John 17:26, you don't have to turn there, it said, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. One of the things that Josh was impressing upon our youth this week is that the primary way that we tell others about Jesus is how we love other people. We had a lot of new faces come to FaithWorks, and some of them are faces that don't come to Faith Bible Church. We had one person that came in, and she said her initial thought was that we were going to be mean. And when I heard that, I thought, how sad is it that so many church people are mean? And that for that girl that was coming in, it was a reasonable concern to think that church people were going to be mean. We had another new person who came in, and we have a registration form for FaithWorks. Oh, I guess I should tell you, she realized that we weren't mean, that we actually loved each other really well. Sorry, I forgot a really important part there. We had another girl come in, and on our registration form, we asked people, like, what's your favorite Bible verse? How did you come to know Jesus? And this girl was brave enough to put that she was agnostic, but she was wanting to learn more. And we found out that her dad had told her, don't tell those people at the church that you're agnostic, because they're going to shun you for it. And her mom said a really awesome thing. She said, you need to tell them that you're agnostic, because if they really believe what that book says, they're going to love you. And so the last day, Garrett was having a conversation with her, and Garrett asked her what she thought about it, and the three things she said, and I know I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but what I got from it was that we were loving, we were kind, and we were patient. And Garrett said, Garrett's getting just like Dan, so you imagine Garrett laughing and crying at the same time when he's doing this. He said, you just used the three characteristics that the Lord used to describe himself in Exodus. You are seeing God through the youth who are believers at Faith Bible Church. You are a Jesus example at all times. How are you loving each other? Do people look at you and say, hey, there's something different about you and I want that? Or do they look at you and say, if that's the way Christians are, I don't want to have any part of it? I know what you want to do because you are a new creation. We always want to be the ones who are showing love well. And if you're not, that's okay. Repent. Start again, just like Dan tells us. The other thing, you have to be able to tell your story. So we've been talking for years about doing the 30-second testimony. The other thing your kids learned in being disciple makers is how to drink Big Red and drink Big Red really well. How to do your 30-second testimony. So Josh and I were talking about it last night. He's like, man, you really need to put out this message to get people to understand what's going on with the 30-second testimony and how Jesus works. So how Jesus worked a few years ago is that the Barksdale said, hey, we want to have a picnic out at Faith Bible Church, and we want to bring blow-ups and all this stuff and just have everybody out there. Well, that happened to be the first Sunday that Alex and Joanna Medlock showed up to Faith Bible Church. And that made him see, man, something's different about this place. Well, Mike Jorgensen said, I want to be at the church where my grandkids are. And it was a few months later that Mike said, hey, I want to do this thing where I show people how to give their testimony and how they can share the gospel through using the three circles method. And Josh and Henry and I think a couple other elders, like, man, I'm not really into this, but I want to go just to support Mike. And that's where Mike showed us how to do our 30-second testimony. And that's where Mike showed us, hey, here's how you can share the gospel using the three circles. And Mike had blocked off 2 hours, and in like an hour we were done, and we're kind of like, what's going on? And then Mike said, hey, I went out and got all these street addresses, and what you're all going to go do right now is go door to door and start doing some evangelism. And we're like, are we really fixing to do this? And it was something that I had never done. I had never just gone and knocked on doors randomly. And it was the most amazing thing to get to talk to people and pray for them and get to learn about how do you share your testimony? And you're not always going to have 30 minutes. Sometimes you got to give in sales what we call the elevator pitch. So thank you, Mike. Thanks for making a huge impact on me and on our kids. And if you go ask anybody in the blue shirts for their 30-second testimony, they're going to end it with, do you have a story like that? Because they truly do want to hear your story as well. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have this big, amazing story. I wasn't hooked on drugs. Merv, I'm not like you. My dad didn't kill my mom. Man, if your story is, I was raised up in a home of loving parents and I always knew Jesus, that is awesome. And that is your story. And that's the story that you need to share with people. The other part of that was 30-second testimony is that's how God changed you. But you also need to do, like Mike equipped us with, was doing the three circles. And the three circles isn't the only way to share the gospel, but you need to have some method that you can talk to people about God's plan and what a non-believer needs to do to accept Jesus and to be made new, to be a new creation. So if you don't have a way to share the gospel, come find one of these kids in the blue shirts. Miss Eddie, I know one of the kids shared the three circles with you. Sharing your 30-second testimony is easier than walking through those three circles. So I was so impressed that Corbin jumped right in and shared with you the three circles. So if you don't know how to do that, grab one of these kids. They'd love to show you and tell you all about it. The other thing that you have to do is practice and practice and practice. And we talked about it last year. I made all of you said, hey, part of the message today, you're actually going to learn how to do your 30-second testimony. We're not going to do that today, but you need to practice. Practice with your friends in here. Everybody in here wants you to succeed at this, so don't be afraid to do it. Do your 30-second testimony. Share the three circles or whatever methodology you use to talk to somebody about the gospel. Because you are going to be out in the world and the time's going to come and you are going to have that opportunity. And I don't want you to walk away from it going, oh man, I was too scared or I messed that up. I want it to be so commonplace for you that you can just at the drop of a hat, spit it right out. You do have a purpose. You are worthy. And you have some practical ways to carry out your mission. The last thing I've got for you here. To accomplish your mission of being Christ's ambassadors, though, you have to go out. If you're going to be Christ's ambassadors to the world, you can't stay in the embassy. What's the embassy, Merv? The four walls of this church is the embassy. For some of you, your house is the embassy. Your family is the embassy. The family is an amazing institution that helps perpetuate the faith. It's also true that if you only focus on your family, you can't be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Jesus asked us to do all of it, our family and the ends of the earth. It was great that the girl who was agnostic came to Faith Bible Church and came inside the four walls of the embassy, but that's not normal. Jesus asked us to go out, for us to be the one person amongst a group of 60 people who weren't believers so that we could spread his message. Jesus didn't pray for us to be airlifted out of a messy, broken world. He prayed for us to stay in it, protected from the evil one, to fulfill his mission. Your calling isn't to hide in the embassy of the church, seeing only other believers, but to step out as God's representatives. The world is where God's work happens. And the great thing, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That means as long as you show up and you start to speak, like Charlie and I were talking about today for something that he did at a restaurant, if you start to speak, the Holy Spirit's going to guide your conversation. He's going to guide your words. You don't have to do anything other than obey and start to speak. If you have the Holy Spirit, that also means that you have all of the fruits of the Spirit. We're also told that we need to put on the armor of God. And what I would ask you, is your armor getting used out in the world? Or is it sitting nice and shiny in the corner of the embassy? Is disciple making going to die with you? Who is the person that you're supposed to talk to about Jesus? Who is the person you're supposed to be pouring into inside of this church, inside of your family, to help that person become closer to Jesus and be a better disciple maker. You have a job at 70, 80, 90 years old, at 15, 25, 35. What opportunities will you take to fulfill your mission to go into the world and share the gospel? And to that end, talk about something that Mike Lindeke did. Every morning we would have devotional, and as part of the Not of This World theme, we had some people were the Martians and ET, but Mike's were the Men in Black, the government agents. And one of the things he did at the end, our last devotional on Friday, is he said, "I've got a secret mission for you." And he handed out slips of paper to all the kids, and it was opportunities for them to go be Christ ambassadors out in the world. And I'd heard about what Joshua and Mike did Saturday morning. And Saturday afternoon, we had a party out at Kelly's house for all the kids to come in and just enjoy each other's company. And I asked them, "Hey, has anybody done their secret mission?" And I was expecting Joshua to be the only one to raise his hand. So FaithWorks ended about 7 p.m. Friday, and by 2 p.m. on Saturday, there were like 8 kids who had already raised their hand and shared their story about what they did, whether it was going to the farmer's market. One of them had asked the waiter at the restaurant they went to that evening, where do you think you go when you die, was the prompt that they had, and that was their way to start talking about Jesus. For others, it was sharing your 30-second testimony with a family member. So one of the things we're going to do for all of you, when you leave today, out in the foyer by where we have the FaithWork shirts, is a giant bowl full of slips of paper that can be your secret mission to help you get started on how to go out and share the gospel. I read the one that I gave to Charlie, and it says he's got to be at the gas station, and when he's at the gas station, he's got to look at the person that's filling up gas, and he's got to ask him about Jesus. There's other one that talks about doing things at a restaurant, going to a family member, just lots of different opportunities where you're at that you can share the gospel. So I would love for you to do that, but don't just do that one. Take it as that opportunity to go, "Oh, I didn't die. I can do this. I have the Holy Spirit." And I'll close with this, because this is what the Lord asked us all to do. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that you give us this awesome mission to go and tell people about you. Father, I just pray that whether we've got folks who are 15 or 55 or 75, if they're scared, if they feel that they're unworthy, that you will let them talk to me, Josh, Dan, one of their other friends that are here, so that we can all be encouragers and let them know you can do this. You have the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for loving us even when we didn't deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the light. Y'all blessed her more than you have any ability to know. We talk about the kids in a circle. The sniffling was deadening and much appreciated. And after all that, you'll have y'all talk time. And I went back in the house. It was just me and Connie. And she stared. She said, "I'm at peace now." That's what y'all did to me and to Connie and to our family. And let me say something else that Merv mentioned. There were some people there that are not believers. And you know what they told me? "Is that what Jesus is like? Is that Jesus?" Yeah, it was. So, all y'all blue shirt people, let me tell you, you're already the light. And like I told you the other night, y'all go out and be the light. We got light in here. But they don't have light out there. So I'm saying, go out. You're capable. You're equipped. And now you know that what y'all have done has worked. Praise God.
So your encouragement. Hold your head up high. Believe that you are somebody and you belong to something important, because you are, and you do. You're a child of God, a member of his kingdom, and there's no higher status in all this life. Go out and be Christ's ambassadors. God bless y'all.